Good to be here. I appreciate the invitation, Brother Josh, to be here at the Romba Tabernacle again. It's always a joy to come and to be in the service here. A lot of memories, a lot of history, I guess we would say, that the Lord had blessed us to be a part to start with. I guess there's great happenings. I got saved in the old original Romba Baptist Tabernacle. February 13th, 1956, a little over 60 years ago. How about that? I don't feel like I'm that old quite. But so I got saved there at the old Romba Baptist Tabernacle in 1956, February 13th. April the 15th, I met my wife, Betty. April 15th, 1956. So April 15th, tax filing time, we'd been knowing each other 60 years. And I told him up Flint Hill, that's the best thing ever happened to her. And they said, it's the best thing ever happened to you, and I had to amen that. But then God called me to preach at the old Romba Baptist Tabernacle, the second church. And then God allowed me to be my first church to pastor. I guess somewhere along about 1961, somewhere along there. Of course, they put me in for assistant before that. Well, Ola Bright was a pastor and put me in for assistant. And then I went to Charity Hill, stayed a few years, and came back to the tabernacle. And so I pastored this church two different times. And so there's a lot of history. A lot of blessings I can look back on and see how the Lord blessed us together. And I'm so glad that Betty could be with us today. I call her Miss America. Amen. I preached revival above town a few years ago, and I'd call her Miss America. And so some of the ladies, I heard them whispering after service, said, why don't our pastor call his wife Miss America? And the other said, they ain't supposed to be but one. But we're so glad to have Brother Dennis, Wayne, and Jenny with us. I remember years ago when I was pastor there, I guess the first time, or might have been the second time, I was preaching about Jacob, how he worked 7 years for Rachel and got Leah. And I don't know how many sisters that Betty had here. I know Jenny was here. And I said it'd been awful bad to work 7 years for Betty and got one of her sisters. So after service, she came to the door and she said, I'll have you know I wouldn't have had you. You know, so it goes two ways, daughter. We're so glad to be here now today, and I pray that God will bless your church. He'll help you to grow and prosper. Souls will be saved, and we'll just enjoy ourselves now today. Good to see Brother Bud Wishon. I told him a while ago, we are the old preachers now. I remember a time when me and him was the young preachers. They'd get us a... Well, you know, this Phil Sunday, I preach a youth Sunday at a brother.
Yes, sir.
And I really appreciate that Sunday school class, that young people's class back there. Boy, you don't know how that helped me to see that on the door, young people's class. Amen. So we're so glad to be here now today. Okay, that's enough for that now. Josh asked me to come preach. Amen. So look with us now in the Gospel of John now today for just a little bit. In the Gospel of John, we want you to look with us now and read with us here in the Word of God now today. And I thank Him for all the Word of God, the lesson we had today. Thank you, Brother Carter, for the lesson today. In St. John chapter 6, we want to read a few verses now in your hearing. And I pray that God will speak to our hearts today as He's already spoke to mine. Now, I'll try to get done sometime between now and 5 o'clock. And... Now, you heard what I said sometime between now and 5 o'clock. But we'll get done when the Lord gets through, and I appreciate that. But in chapter 6, now let us stand for the reading of the Word of God now today. And I pray that God will speak to our hearts. In verse 1 of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, a very familiar scripture now today. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Brother Dennis, lead us in prayer again at this time. Amen. You may be seated. Now today, I know this is a very familiar scripture that we read in your hearing now today. I guess some could probably quote it by heart. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart. And I want to talk to us now. What do we have for dinner? Now I've done learned a few things. Brother Odin asked these men when they came, what did they bring? One man said, I brought chicken. Well, if you're a Baptist preacher, that's your favorite. That right? I mean, chicken. Another man said he brought ice. Well, we don't want to get too much of ice spread around, do we? Amen. But we know that part right today. But I look at the scriptures now. In the Gospel of John, God moved on him in a different way from all the other writers in the Gospels. And I believe that God had a reason for that. When you look here in all four of the Gospels, you find, I'll tell you, that every Gospel mentions this instance, the feeding, I'll tell you, of the 5,000 with these 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Every one of them mentions the story and tells the story in detail, but I believe that John, God gave him a little extra because of being who he was and thinking about how that Jesus was always near to him and him near to Jesus. And a lot of times John would be leaning on his breast and Jesus would tell him things the others wouldn't hear and all that. But yet I look at this Gospel of John, and I've tried to read several chapters in the book of John last night and begin to see the miracles that Jesus had already done. Now in chapter 2, he turned the water into wine. Now you can see that in chapter 2 that Jesus turned the water into wine. And then in chapter 3, carrying on the conversation with Nicodemus, he talked about the second birth being born of the water and of the Spirit. And so you see the water there in those two chapters. Then when you look in chapter 4, you see the woman at the well. And so Jesus said, if you just knew who I was and if you just knew who I was talking to, you'd ask me of that living water and I'd give you a drink of that living water. So he talked about that living water there. And then in chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda, I guess we'd say that. And there is the man now that Jesus healed that, beside that pool. Now, the angel troubled the waters there in that chapter. And at that season, anybody that was crippled or had any kind of disease, they first stepped in that water and they were made whole of whatever disease they had. So you see, I think that was some cleansing water there, don't you, that God shows us in that chapter. But now then in chapter 6, we read here now about, I'll tell you, Jesus doing another miracle. The miracle in Cana of Galilee was his first miracle. And now then we talked about the water here in these chapters. And now then we're going to start looking at the bread. Now, I thank God for water, don't you? I remember back when me and Bill was just small. Of course, that's been a long time ago. We're about as old as dirt now. But I remember when we stayed with my grandpa. And we'd go work in the field. And start out early. My grandmother would take milk and cornbread and potatoes and different things to the field. And we'd take the milk and put it in the spring box. And I thank God for the spring. And I thank God for water. And how many here has ever drank out of a branch? Let's see your hand. Now, if you've never done that, you'd try that sometime. Now, that's a blessing. I mean, let the whole branch of water run down and just get down like a dog and drink out of it. And I remember one time I drank out of that branch over there and went up about 20 or 30 feet on up the branch, and there laid an old dead possum. Brother Bud looking, I mean, laying there on that edge of that branch, that little creek, grinning, you know, grinning like a possum. And now remember, just a little bit ago, 20 or 30 feet down below that, I'd bowed down there and, oh boy, what good water. Good, cool, refreshing water. But the dead possum, I'll tell you, made me think again about that good, clean water. I mean, you think, this is a wonder I'm here today, ain't it? I mean, I could have died like the possum did, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm here. But now then we see the story here in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, how that Jesus now turns from the water, and on down in the next chapter you find out where he talks about him being the bread of life. And I thank God for the water and I thank God for the bread. And so I thank God for the Word of God now. I thank him for the bread of life, the Word of God. We have to preach and to teach and to live by and to study and to honor the Word of God. And so I see this story now. And can't you imagine now that Jesus, with all those 5,000, and you know, and one of the Gospels says besides women and children, and they tell me that there could have been as many as 10 to 15,000, Brother Bud, people there on that hillside that day. So now when you look at that miracle and you think about now, what are they going to have for dinner? Now, that many people. Now, in fact, I used to invite folks home after church for meals and snacks and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, I'd look at my wife and say, that's all right. And she said, oh, that's fine. Don't know what we're going to eat, but that's fine. And so when I look at this story now and see how that in every time that there's a meal prepared, there has to be some preparations now in preparing that meal. Now here Jesus, with all that multitude following him, and no doubt they as hungry as most of us Baptist preachers after we preach Iron and Hife on Sunday morning, can't hardly wait to get home to get to the table. And so we look here in the Word of God now, and now Jesus knew what he was going to do. He asked these disciples now about the food situation, and he spoke these things now to prove them because he knew what he was going to do. And so I believe now, in the providence of God, Brother Dennis, I believe that God knows everything all the time. Don't you? I believe that God knows. In fact, he's an all-knowing, all-wise God. Now, since Jesus knew this now, I believe that he put some things in motion. Now, just like the night I got saved, I believe that God put some things in motion. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. I don't have time, but I'd loan Bill my car, and I was going to drive his 39 Ford, and he drove my 49 Plymouth, and so he left me that 39 Ford there to drive. I was going to the Liberty Theater for the movies that night, and I was hooked on that kind of thing. Amen. But I went out there and got in that 39 Ford. Now, Bill done been gone probably about an hour with my 49 Plymouth. And I put that 39 Ford up in reverse. And when I started to back up, let the clutch out on the little 39 Ford. And if you've ever drove a 39 Ford, now you know what I'm talking about, when they're about two-thirds wore out. And that thing started shaking like that in reverse. It's shaking, jumping up and down. And the whole back springs fell out, Brother Josh, and that whole body came right down on the axle. the rear end of that car. And there I was, Nell. There I was. I mean, I couldn't go to town, couldn't go to the movies. I kicked that car with my right foot. I hit it in my fist. I argued with it. And it just laid there. But the Lord, I believe, had more things in mind. My mama came by and said, Marvin, since you can't go to town, why don't you go down the road to the church with us, and to the tabernacle? And Bill had got saved about 2 weeks before that and came running in the house that night and said, Mom and Dad, the Lord saved me. And I thought the law was acting to start with. But that was the start of the whole thing. And I went down that road that night with them and thinking in my mind now, well, since I can't go to the moving picture show, I'll go down to the church and I'll probably find me a pretty girlfriend down there. There's a few pretty ones in Ron. How many can say amen to that? Bill, did you say amen to that? Amen. Okay. Amen. Now, so I finally did. But anyhow, Brother Clarence Sello was preaching that night. Clarence was very uneducated, didn't have could hardly read, and he preached on the cross that night. And Brother Bud, while he preached on that cross, I'd heard the preaching of the cross before, and God had convicted my heart of sin before. But that night was a special night. I tell you, the Lord began to deal with me personally, Brother Josh. And I'd heard how Jesus died for the world, but now then Jesus hanging on that cross, the preacher preaching the cross, he spoke to my heart and said, I died there for you individually. I died there for you individually. So I'll tell you, after they got through bothering me, and back in those days, they'd go back and sometimes just about try to drag you down to the altar. And so when they quit bothering me, I finally made my way down that old-fashioned altar. They're on my knees. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace. And I done give up everything. I almost told God I quit eating chicken. I'm glad I didn't do that. Amen. But I, on my knees there, this old lady, Aunt Charity Weatherman, came by and she laid her hand on top of my head and it was trembling. Of course, I don't guess she was any older then than I am now. But she laid that hand on my head and it trembled. And she said, young man, what you got to do is trust the Lord with all your heart. And right there on my knees, I heard that message again of the cross. And I said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me on that cross. I believe you was buried and you came from that tomb. I believe in the resurrection. I believe what the Bible says about you. And Lord, if I go to hell, I'll go there trusting you. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, about that time business started picking up. And somewhere from my knees to my feet, I'm glad, thank God. I said, I'm going to trust you, Lord. If I go to hell, I go there trusting you. And I'm glad, thank God, he took me in his arms of love. Thank God, he took that burden of sin out and put the peace of God on the inside. And I shouted out for about 5 minutes, thank God, around that altar. I was saved by the amazing grace of God. Now, God, what I'm saying is, I believe God prepared that night. But now in this story here now today, now out of all the 5,000 men besides women and children, now you think on this, only one little lad out of that whole crowd brought his dinner. That right, Dennis? According to what the Bible said, they said to Jesus, there's a lad here that has 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves. But what are they among so many? So I believe that Jesus, now when you think about this, I remember a time when we took our dinner to school. We had taken in a coffee can or a brown paper bag. How many remembers that kind of day? Hey, man, I mean, and I live close to Flint Hill School, and sometimes I'd walk home and eat blackberries and flitters cooked on top of the stove.
So now look in the preparation. Now what happened? Now most of the time when a young boy, would take his lunch, then there had to be a mother probably involved, a Brother Josh, in that. And she probably said, now it's going to be a hard day and I might better pack your lunch. Now, can't you imagine this? And so here, I'll tell you, that mother, I believe God moved on her heart. And she packed that little boy's dinner and put it in the basket. And here he took off to follow Jesus. And all day, they had went and followed Jesus. All the things he did, they heard the words he spoke. And now then, I guess those people thought, now, no doubt, all the things Jesus has done, he can do great things again. And I say, amen. He did great things. He is doing great things. And God will keep on doing great things. I praise his name for the goodness of God that leads us to repentance and helps us recognize the fact of who God is today. Now that little boy, can't you see him now? Not only the mother prepared, but that little boy. He said, he thought, I guess I'll have to carry that all day now. So somehow or another, God gave him the strength and the power to carry that basket all day with two small fishes and five barley loaves. God knowing, now Jesus knew what he was going to do. You know, the word of God said Jesus knew what he said those words, proving them, because he knew what he was going to do. In fact, I believe when he moved on that mother's heart to pack that lunch for that little lad that morning, I believe that Jesus said, I'm going to show them, thank God, how a good dinner is prepared. Well, glory. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. To know that God now was in the picture all the time. And folks, what we need in our day right today is let God come back in the picture again. Right. We program God out of this. We program God out of that. We're trying to do it ourselves with all of our little programs and all little shindigs and worldly things. We still need the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God to move on our hearts. From the pulpit back to the pew, we need the power of God to help us in these days to honor and glorify the name of God. Now, I remember days, and I'm not going to just talk about the past. The things that are past are gone. We can't bring them back. I would to God that we would come back to some of the old-fashioned landmarks of the Christian church. I would to God we'd come back to the fact of believing that before sinners can get saved, they got to first be brought under Holy Ghost conviction. I saw it. I know what I'm talking about. When my wife got saved, she was my girlfriend at that time, at the old run, the Baptist Tabernacle, the Holy Ghost came down in that service that night, and 17 souls walked down the aisle and got saved by the grace of God. This coming, Roscoe Holbrook was one of them, and he is on the outside, and Bill probably remembers this, on the outside, and the Spirit of God and the growing power of God so great, and I tell you, he came from the outside to the altar and got saved by the grace of God. I've been praying for my girlfriend all that time because I'd already figured out she's going to be my wife. And I wasn't going to marry her till she got saved, because that's unbiblical. Amen. In fact, when she walked in that door that night, April 15th, 1956, now I smiled at her and she smiled at me, and here we are. Amen. They say there's no such thing as love at first sight. Well, maybe second sight then. That's not too far down the road, is it? And I was singing in the choir, and we were singing that song, Swing Out on the Promises of God. And I said, swing out on the promises of God. Amen. Lord, help me. And he did. But now look what happened. Here's a need for a meal. I've been to a lot of homecomings, and I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now. I pastored churches for out of 56 years of preaching, the pastor church is 54 of those years. Now, I've been through a lot of experiences. Betty wrote a book on them. But I want to tell you something. It's been a good trip. Now, I'm not complaining. Brother Bud, it's been a joy to take this old King James Version of the Word of God and preach it in the foothills of these mountains. To preach it in different places in Mexico and even in Israel to preach the Word of God. I tell you, I thank the Lord for His power and His might. And I tell you, here in Jesus, He said, have them to sit down. Now, God shows us a picture here now in this story. And I'll get through now in just a little bit. But I want you to know now today that Jesus had a plan. He is going to show us a picture now of how that He feeds the multitude. And did you know, I believe that God in every church, I believe He places a pastor in that church, under-shepherd. They're placed in there out there as the under-shepherd to feed the flock of God. And the Holy Ghost has put them in the oversight thereof, not with for filthy lucre, but willingly. Not by constraint, not because they're made to do it. Amen. I hope you can tell I'm not made to do what I'm doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. Amen. I ain't going to get up here and say, well, I'm so sad today. The devil about got me this week, and if you better pray for me, he'll all get me next week. Poor old sinner sitting back there and said, my Lord, he's having more problems than I'm having. Amen. I'm glad we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And Jesus said, have them to sit down by 50s. Can't you imagine? And I've been to that place there in Israel on that mount where that they say Jesus fed the multitudes. And I looked out over that meadow. And in my mind, I could see them, I'll tell you, seated there by 50s. And how that Jesus, I'll tell you, had a way of feeding that multitude. Did you know Jesus break the bread and break the fishes and gave them to the disciples and they gave to the multitude? Now what God does for us men of God that's been called of God, the priest, the word of God, He gives to us and then He breaks it to us and we break it to you. Amen. That's God's plan. And God does it that way. And so we look here in the Word of God. Now this little boy, the mother prepared that lunch. The little boy carried it all day. Now then, here comes the disciple, takes it away from him. Now, it don't tell us. It don't tell us who grabbed that basket out of that boy's hand. But I've got a suspicion now. Brother Wayne, he probably just walked up there and said, well, if this will help you all any, you're glad to have it. And then the disciple said, now, what is that among so many people? I'll tell you, folks, you can't belittle God. I tell you, our God is a big God. He's an almighty, all-powerful God. He never fails. He never has failed. He never will fail again. And I'm glad Jesus started breaking them fish and breaking them loaves. And they gave to the multitude, and all 5,000 besides women. Women and children were filled, had everything they wanted. And I tell you, took up 12 baskets full of the fragments left behind. Now, it pays to be obedient to God, don't it? I mean, folks, I tell you, I remember just quite a year ago now, God blessed me to come to my home community there where I was raised, in Flint Hill community. And God led me back there, Brother Josh, in my home community. I was raised right there and seeing this is that church. And He let me come back there, and the church had went through a hard time and went there to try to help them through that, and it pulled out of that, and then was there 6 years, and in time of that, God let us build a brand new church on that hill up there. Amen. And the miracle on the hill, and I'm not here bragging, like a lot of preachers come from some other state and tell stuff like this, and it might not be true, but this is so. Amen. This is true. Amen. And the Lord did that for us, and we came through that building program. One of the best building programs I've ever been in. Most times if you build a bathroom on a church, you have 2 or 3 fusses before you get done. If you put new carpet in, you have 15 people wanting different things. And we went through that building program. I mean, just about problem free. Because what we've done, about 20 or 21 of us went over on that hill before we started that building. Bowed down there among those flint rocks. And said, Lord Jesus, we want to build you a house. I read there about Solomon, how that Solomon, God let him build the temple. And God provided the gold, the silver, and all the things he needed to build that temple. And I said, now, Lord, I want you to do that for us here at Flint Hill. And I stood there that day and read those scriptures, bowed there among those rocks and prayed and said, now, God, you help us. And from that time that we got through, there's no doubt in my mind that that church would be built. I didn't know how God was going to do it. I was a small little crowd of mostly retired people. But I want to tell you something, God did it. God did it. Amen. Came through that $1,225,000 spent. And they don't owe a dime on nothing. When I left there, they had $94,000 in the church treasury. Amen. I say our God's real. What do you think about that? I believe our God can still do anything he's ever done. I mean, what he wants us to do is get, thank God, joined up with him. And I was reading in that scripture where the Brother Carter's teaching there in one of those chapters there, said we're laborers together with God. We're laborers together with God. And I'm glad that I'm still laboring with God and I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. I know, but what I started to tell you, God laid on my heart to give up the pasturing. There comes a time when there's has to be changes made in our lives. Brother Dennis, it broke my heart. When the Lord said it's time for you to hang this up, didn't tell me exactly what he had in mind for me. But I've understood now what he had. He wanted me to preach different places and try to encourage young pastors and old pastors that's discouraged. And I saw the power of God move in so many different ways. Amen. And that's what I'm living this. I'm living it. I'm preaching. Everywhere God opens the door, I just preach. Amen. If I walk into church and they say, Brother Marvin, would you preach now? I say, be glad to. Amen. You ain't got no time to have to write off a sermon. Amen. Just preach. Amen. Amen. Just preach. Amen. And so God did that for us. But now then, the whole multitude's been fed. What did they have for dinner? They had fish and bread. And I guess they probably had some water. As much as he talked about water. And that makes a meal, don't it? So I'm glad, thank God, right today, I'm glad the Lord prepared a meal for us in the house of God. I want us to get a song now today. I'm going to stop right now. I could go on. It's kind of like I was preaching over in the prison one Sunday night and had about 60 of those inmates came up to the dining room And I preached for about, well, you just had a set time, about 30 or 35 minutes. That's what they had. And boy, you had to get out of there. And knowing myself, when I heard that bit of iron gate close when I went in there, I wanted to get back out there when it opened up, let me out. I was glad to be there, but I was glad to get out too. And so I got through that night and I preached on the prodigal son And I said, boys, I'm so glad to be here. Now, I've really enjoyed myself. And I could go on. I said, how many believes that I could go on? And this big old black fellow stood in the back of the dining room there, and he raised his hand. Said, we believe you could. Amen. But I want us to stand now today as she just plays on the piano. If ever head bowed and...